Love to tell you so much. I've been a mother a long time. Anyway, I got lots to tell you, but I hope that what I do tell you that will come to your heart. Sometimes I don't trust him back here, so I learned that too. Okay, I want to share with you how to be queen of your household. Think about being a queen. You know, we talk about kings all the time. We need to be queens of our household. And I know sometimes you think, when do I have time to be a queen? But I'm a servant. But today is your day. So you do have authority over your household. God gave you that authority. I know man's over us a little bit. But we are the queen and of our authority of our household, because God just gives us that ability. To be the spiritual house and be in tune with each one of our children. Don't believe the devil to tell you that you don't understand them, because you do. And they're your gems and your jewels, and God's given them to you. And he's also given you a powerful gift. I love it. It's the gift of discernment. And he gives it to you for your children. And it's amazing what he can tell you, and they'll look at you with big eyes. Well, how'd you know that? And don't forget it, and ask God. If you don't think you have it, ask him, and he'll show you, and he'll tell you what to tell your children or how to handle them. So it's a gift to all mothers, and it's needed every day, sometimes moment to moment, right? You need to know how to do your have a special touch for each one of them. They're all unique, all different. So don't hesitate in using it all the time. There's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 2:16, where it says, we have the mind of Christ. There is another one about the gifts, but I'll have you, you can find that one on your own. There's gifts, and that one to me is so special. And motherhood is fulfilling, isn't it? And unique and special, one of a kind, and a God-chosen one. He give you your family, your children, your husband. And so it's a one of a kind only you have. Nobody else. Nobody else. The foundational things not seen happening in the physical develops maturity at being a mom. And we're at it of every stage of motherhood. There's stages, and as they grow, and you grow with them. As with the gates, I'm going to talk about the gates here a little bit. Around the city of Jerusalem, through each is a season of growth in being a mother. And the meaning of the sheep gate, which Pastor David taught the last two Sundays about, is falling in love. That's the sheep gate. Our first commandment, finding salvation. Do we have instant love for our children at their birth? I'm going to be honest, I did not. I was very young, didn't know nothing about nothing. And they brought that bundle of love in. We didn't have natural where you were right there at that moment. Well, you were right there. But we were asleep, thank goodness. And they'll rush them into the nursery. You didn't get to hold them till they were found out to be healthy and you could. So you're always so exhausted, you kind of like that little bit of time to rest. But anyway, they brought my little girl in, and I'm looking like, oh, my goodness, stranger to me. I was like, oh, my goodness. You know, like, what do I do with this that I had grown for 9 months, but I wasn't prepared. I'm going, oh, my. And I'll be honest, I was just shocked. I go, whoa, we're strangers here. So we had to do some bonding. It didn't come within the first few minutes or that first few hours. And that's so important, I think. So anyway, I was really in a lot of shock, thinking, man, how do I handle this? I'll be real honest with you. So I didn't have instant love for my daughter. I really didn't. And I wasn't a Christian at the time, so I'm sure that was a big help too. So if you're a Christian, it's really much better. You can have that love that only God can give you. And we need to pray that we'll fall in love with our children and desire them. I know sometimes we get so mad at them and we should go away for a little while, but we just got to pray that God will just keep us desiring and loving our children. Yes. How do we do these things? By falling in love with Jesus. my very first thing. Then the Holy Spirit gives us our supernatural gifts, more than the one I was telling you about. There's more. Y'all look them up. That's your homework. We are redeemed and set free to give that love to our children. Now my husband's going to say some things.
And I want to tell you, you're looking at the personification of that story that Pastor read.
I was going to say he stole my thunder. I'll tell you, I was a mean mama.
Very, very disciplined mom. I'd like to say this morning to you mothers that I feel like a pearl merchant as I look out across the audience here and I see all you mothers, and to me you are a pearl of exorbitant and great, great price. It's interesting. The Bible says that a man who finds a wife finds a good and valuable thing, and many, many times we being men and thick of skull forget to do that. And so it was very interesting to me to find out how the pearls made. I've heard the story. Well, you open them up, you put a grain of sand in there, but that's not the real pearl. And the real pearl is embedded in the oyster. There's a thing called a parasite. And his real name's a drill worm. He drills through the shell and gets down in the soft and tender part of the oyster. Well, the oyster, he gets irritated, and he begins to secrete a substance around the worm. So if you're wearing pearls today, there's a worm in the middle of your pearl. Maybe these are fresh water, but they may have a grain of sand. But the real pearl has a worm in it. But he's long past hurting you. The substance that the pearl secretes around the worm is called, y'all forgive me if I mispronounce this, hexagonal aragonite crystals of calcium carbonate. Now, those are all expensive chemicals if they come from an orchard. This substance is secreted in layers. It starts around and it meets, another layer starts. And these little crystals are made by the hand of God so that they reflect light. And one reflects to two reflects to three, and you get your effervescence of color that way. And I think that the elements of motherhood, the little babies, the dirty diapers, the squalling kids, the lazy husbands, all of this help you to develop your pearls. Your pearls are not chemical. They're spiritual, physical, and emotional. Every day that you deal with the cares of motherhood increases your wisdom, your love of God, and the love of your family. Daily, layers of love are put around these kids. You know, it don't matter how many you got enough love for all of them. You know, that love just goes around, and that little boy or little girl, they're just a little glowing from crystal to crystal. Daily, these layers of love and dedication add to these children. And these reflect the love of God from you that produces character and personality. The Creator has determined for you and your family to be victorious, to be strong in character. And gentlemen and children, your mother is a pearl of great price, a wondrous work of God on your behalf. Now, when she spanks you, you may not think so, but don't get upset, because it's good for you.
Okay, we're going to the fish gate. I see it up there. Guess that's my right. This is sharing the news. It's our responsibility to share the news about Jesus to our children. How? We need to pray. I'm going to be talking about prayer a lot. Praying for freshness, wisdom, peace, mercy. And by living the committed life in front of them in the center of your own home. not only in church. Yes, there'll be pressure on all sides to give up the stand that you've made. The child becomes older and may say, just like the poem you read, I'm the only one not able to go hang out with my friends. If the gift of discernment has nudged you about that friend or the situation, you can't give in. And, oh, man, it's hard because you're going to think you're the only one. And I've told them, you know what? I'm not the only one, and you're not the only one. You just think so. So ask more questions to the child and tell them the reason why you feel like, you know, that this is not the best thing right now. Maybe later, maybe somebody else. And you'll get results by giving them a little understanding that you're not trying to be mean, but that discernment is there. And then the old gate means going deeper. Psalms 119, verse 169. I'm paraphrasing. He's going to have it up there, I think. This is the message. It says, provide me with insight. That only comes from your word. Understanding to according to your word. And that's where we're going to find the insight. You're going to have to look sometimes and really use a lot of research to find the scriptures that you need. But you need to get them. You need to write them out sometime. Put them on a sticky note. Put them on your mirror, wherever you'd see it. Refrigerator. It's a good one. Anyway, to remind you what you need from the Lord. Never be satisfied to stay on one step of your relationship with Christ. Never. As your child grows in development, you need to be one step ahead of him. You've got to be in wisdom and in discernment. This is your right as a mother, and the Holy Spirit will help in time of need. And this is Matthew 13, verse 11. When the time comes, this is the New International, the Holy Spirit will give you what you are to say to them. He will. He will give it to you. Or what you need to say to their friends, maybe. You know, you never think about it, but maybe they're kind of mad at you because you won't let the other one come out and play or whatever. And that may be a good time to witness to that child. So, you know, you've got a whole lot of fish to catch there. My son asked when he was younger, how do you know when I do these certain things that you get mad at me about and how I have to be disciplined. I used to say, I have a little birdie, and he's right there on your shoulder, and he looks at me with big eyes, really? Well, you know what? For years, I didn't realize that I did have a little birdie in the form of a dove. No. Holy Spirit? That always gets me. But anyway, it always worked. He'd look around and say, where's that bird on me? He couldn't see it, but he believed it. And I didn't know it for the longest. In fact, that just came to me when I wrote the scripture out. And I just think, you don't want to lie to a child. Well, I didn't. I really didn't. he was about two when I became a Christian, so... You know, it just one of those things that the Lord just gives you that. So anyway, John, you can take over from there, thank goodness.
She told me when she starts crying, I can take over. Two Sundays ago, we were worshiping here in the church, and I saw a little kind of a flash vision, and I thought, Lord, what am I going to do with this? And then I figured it out last week. As I was worshiping, I saw a big pot. Now, this is not very big because I don't have a big one. But I saw this pot just like this, right over the center of the church. And I thought, Lord, nothing's coming out. What's this all about? So the more I thought about it and prayed about it, I began to realize that there's a desert sometimes that mothers walk through, and it's sick children, financial shortness, physical drainage. Y'all don't ever get tired, I know. Lack of emotional support, and still you're expected to be the rock-hard foundation of your home. And you got to be the kisser of the hurts and the discipliner of the children. And I know that's a hard thing for most mothers to do. But I have good news, very good news. When you get in those desert spots, when you get in those tight spots, when you get in those times of desperation, whether you have a child at home or not, the Holy Spirit is waiting to pour out the water of the washing of the Word on you. Amen. Say, on me.
On me.
All right. Gentlemen, say, on me.
On me.
All right. God's got this leading for you. He's strengthening you and protecting you there in that desert with this water. And as He pours it out, He's giving you a release. A release to be joyful. A release to rest. A release to say, Daddy, come get these kids. You better do something with them. I'm going to kill them.
Thanks for Grandma.
Yes, would you kids like to go to Granny's this weekend? Granny, the kids want to come see you. All right, so the Lord will lead you out of that desert, and He'll lead you into an oasis. You remember what an oasis is? Palm trees, dates, figs maybe, and water. In the middle of the desert, out of nowhere. They even have oasis in cowboy movies, you guys. They ride and they nearly starve for water, and all of a sudden they find a little pool. God has an oasis for you ladies. So just before you decide that you can't do it anymore, God will come and meet you. The hand of God, the Holy Spirit, tips this pot at the very spot, this pot, not the smoking kind. He tips this pot at the very spot that you seem to be bogged down in. He is so magnificent that He can change your situation without moving you. Sometimes, you know, we used to get mad at my job. I said, I'm going to find me another job. Well, I could. It might not be as good or it might be better, but still had the same problems. Anyway, Jesus hears your heart cry, Mom. He can restore your life. He can give you joy and excitement, peace and guidance, strength and wisdom, healing, and most of all, He can renew your dedication to the purpose of motherhood. All right? He can lift that burden from your shoulders. He can love you. He can kiss your cheek. He can even provide the needs for your husband and motivate him too. Do you know that? That's right. Mothers, I want to encourage you today that you are a very, very, very special person. No matter what your self-evaluation is in the mirror, Monday morning or Friday morning, you are very, very needed and you're very, very special. And He wants to keep you in your own personal oasis of love. Okay?
The next is Valley Gates. The Valley Gate. Not one, two gates, one gate. And this means enduring the trials. That's kind of what he was talking about. When enduring the trials of life with your children, how's your attitude? Sometimes we get pretty we pity ourselves, don't we? Nobody's having the troubles I have. That's a song, isn't it? But Jesus knows. Jesus knows. Especially when those sleepless nights come. And we lose our sleep. We can get pretty angry too, don't we? Get kind of agitated. Find your right as a mother without a personal level with Jesus. How can you? You can't. And we, like I say, we've just got to keep on keeping on going to Jesus. You think, I don't have the time. And that reminds me, I've been twice, I've thought about my friend a long time ago had 7 children. And she said, only time I can have a little peace is in the bathroom, lock the door, and have a good bubble bath. She loved bubble baths. So one day I took her a big jug of it. I said, here, have fun. That's the only time she had. So she made the most of it. in the bathtub, probably about 10 minutes, but that at least gave her some time away, to have time with Jesus. How can you know what Jesus will do for you if you don't take the time?
Right.
You won't. You have to ask him, give you a vision for your children, what they can accomplish, what they will accomplish. Then encourage them to do their best. Boast in the Lord and boast in your children. Boast about them in front of them and to them. One thing I want to say, I was a very serious mom, and I just wanted everything to be so perfect. I wanted to be so protective. Don't get hurt. Even emotional hurts about friends hurting them and all this. You try to stand in their spot, but you can't. They've got to live and learn, and it's really hard. But once you give them to Jesus and you keep praying about it, he'll give you the wisdom to know when to stand back, when to listen, just to love them and know what to do. I wish I'd have kept this journal. God said to do this. Keep a journal on each one of them, even if it's just one little sentence every once in a while. Write down those special moments when God whispers something in your ear about your child or something that they do. Just jot it down and have it for yourself later to remind you, and then give it to that child when they get bigger. I think they'd appreciate it. Pray for their circle of influence. That's a new phrase for me, circle of influence. Boy, that is so important. That and their marriage partner. It's never too early to pray for their marriage partner. And pray exactly what you'd like to see, a good Christian man, a good Christian woman that really loves the Lord, and what kind of personalities you'd like to see in those partners. Pray that they have God moments. Your children they can have God moments, can't they? I've seen some of them holding those hands up, knowing how to pray and receive from God. And they are aware of his presence. They're aware of God's presence.
One nice thing about the journal, when they start dating, you read it to their boyfriend or their girlfriend. Did I ever tell you about the time? How many of you young men over there know who Thomas Edison is? Didn't he make the typewriter? He made the light bulb. Oh, these things. You know what Thomas Edison said about his mother? He said, "My mother was the making of me. She was so true and so sure of me. I felt like I had someone to live for, someone I must not disappoint. The memory of my mother will always be a blessing to me." So, young men, young women, remember your mother well.
Okay. The Dung Gate is the next one, the refuge. Refuge, whatever, how you say that.
It trash.
Is, yeah, to trash. Refining our character is what this gate means. When you enter it, it's the purging and the burning constantly. And as moms, that seems to be one mission that's awful grievous, isn't it? In us and in our children as we discipline them and as we teach them and try to get them to see the right ways and why lying is wrong and bullying is wrong, and and it's just continuous that we in the correcting that we have to do for the children. But we reflect which ways are the best for each of our children. But this is a must. George Washington.
You know, I'm young enough to remember when computers first come out, and they had a saying: "Garbage in, garbage out." Boys and girls are born with a little computer. If we put garbage in, that's what we get. If we put the Holy Ghost and fire in there, that's what we get. And who knows who George Washington was? Did he chop down a cherry tree? Did he tell his daddy a lie about it? No, he didn't. George Washington said, and I think this is really neat because mothers are so special, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success to the life, successes in life, to the moral, intellectual, and physical education that my mother gave to me. That's what mom's doing, guys. They're investing in your life very heavily.
Okay, the fountain gate is next. There it is on the bottom. This means getting filled. This is a fun one, isn't it? We need that after having to go through that last one, refining our character. This will only come by this fountain, a special secret time that you take and you must take for the great King, our Lord Jesus. And then the watering gate is devouring the word. I looked up the word devour because I thought, okay, I kind of know, but let's get some definition. It means drink greedily, devour, engulf. And that's what we need to do with the word. We've got to devour it, and God will give you some. I mean, I've read sometimes, you know, for a long time, and I'm thinking, wow, I didn't know that scripture was in there. So he'll have special scriptures for you to encourage your children or to show them the way. So that is one thing that you come away with treasures when you get in the Word. And you can share it with your children. Tell them, hey, look what I looked in the Bible today and found. Jesus says, come as little children. They can feel his presence more than you can imagine, and probably a lot easier than we can sometimes.
At least they can remember it. Dr. James Dodson said this, there are few assignments in human experience that require that array of skills and wisdom needed by a mom fulfilling her everyday duties. Now, mom, if you know what this is, you nod your head, okay? She must be a resident psychologist, a physician, a theologian, an educator, a nurse, a chef. That's the important one. Taxi driver, fire marshal, and occasional peace officer. And if she succeeds today, guess what? You get to do it again tomorrow for free.
Okay. Let's see. We have the horse gate. Oh, boy, that sounds like a good one to me. But it means doing warfare. Well, that's a hard thing, warfare. That sounds like a lot of strategy of battle, doesn't it? And that's exactly what it means. You've got to battle for your children. You've got to do the warfare. This involves a lot of saturated prayer for your children to cover them with protection from unseen enemies. And then the east gate. Let's see, you got King David.
Okay. Ladies, I want to tell you something. Great men do great things. But a mama makes a great man. Do you know that? If your son does anything good, you're the root. You're what started it, and you helped it. Now, a warrior and really important king, King David, wrote this in Psalms 144 and 12, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. That's nice of King David. We all grow up. But he says, yet, that our daughters may be as cornerstones polished after the similitude of a palace. In palace style, he says over here. Y'all remember Mike Heron, the man with the magic fingers? He wrote a book on the Psalms, and he translates that this way. May our daughters be like graceful pillars carved in the beauty of a palace. And there's pillars in the Old Testament. There's Queen Esther. There's Ruth. There's Naomi. And you are of that lineage and of that quality. You're a mother. You stand there. Okay. Mm-hmm.
The East Gate. That was always the way they worshipped, right? To the East. And they still do, I think, today, even today. And this means fostering worship. Fostering. I had to look that word up. It means receiving nourishment. Receiving nourishment. When we worship, like we did this morning, it was so good. We're receiving nourishment from God. I know that there's a time when we need to be worshiping Him, but you know what? It just comes full circle back to us. Back to us. That's that awesome moment. We need to let our children see us do this. And we need to be doing it with them at home and involve them. Loving God with a smile instead of, we got to do this, you know. I wish to have devotion. It did not work good in our home. It just didn't. By the time I had a teenage daughter, I'd say, well, how was today? Oh. I said, well, what'd you do? Nothing. Well, she went to school, did all this stuff, but she was just a terrible attitude. And then Daddy'd get mad at her. Well, come on, tell us. You know, you want to open, then we want them to open up. And, of course, they don't want to. So it just didn't ever end up good. When they were little, I could read Bible stories, you know. We'd have prayer and questions and stuff. When they get older, it's a little bit different. I don't know. That was a real hard transition. And so you've got to remember, you know, don't make it a hard thing. If that approach don't work, try something else. God, and like I say, you got to just ask God. But that, I didn't know at that time about real true worship. I really didn't. I knew you had to pray. You had to pray. You had to do this. But I never really knew the intimacy in worship. But when you haven't, we're taught it here. So you know how to help your children worship in the truth that it is. And that they can do it willingly and get something really truly out of it. So it's really one of the things they need to see you doing, and not forcing it on them. Teach them a song and sing along together. Get some good worship music that they like and have fun with it. Okay. And the other gate, it's called the M-I-P-H-K-A-D, Mithkad. And I'm not sure if that's what it's called there. Not sure.
Actually,
I forgot which gate it is on the board there. It's inspection? Okay. Inspection gate. All right. It's called Fulfilling Our Destiny. The results of our labor of love and involving our children comes from a long-awaited time, doesn't it? Because you've been putting, it's like putting hand lotion on them and loving them and care for them, giving them a bath, washing the dirty away, and putting the good in and taking the bad out and showing them the good and the bad. So it's a long-awaited time. We've been building what we can't see. And what's that called? Except through the eyes of faith. It's what we got to see them. And if they're ornery and acting up and total opposites, beautiful teenagehood sometimes does that, we got to say, okay, remember what God showed you. So ask him for a vision of what your children are going to be. What's their destiny going to be? You'll always be a mother. You'll be a grandmom, even a great-grandmom. How many great-grandmoms in here? Am I only one? I think so. Oh,
two.
Good. Got two. All right. And even after death, they'll be reminiscing about you. Didn't we have fun? I used to play Tea Party with grandkids. When they're little, you know, they don't expect a whole lot. They just eat bread and think it is brownies or, you know, a sandwich. Drink water and think it was pop or tea. They didn't care. They just wanted to have fun with grandmas. They're special. So, yeah. Played baseball with them. I was terrible at baseball, but that plastic ball and bat I loved. Didn't go far. Didn't hurt you. And run a race. They always won because I was slow, I guess. I couldn't realize it. So anyway, you do wear many crowns in your days. And one of the ones that is really important is the crown of forgiveness. You know, if you do something, you know that it wasn't really right, you got to go to your child and just ask for forgiveness. And show them that, you know, you're not perfect either, but you can be humble enough to do that. Okay.
By the time they're teenagers, they don't think you're very perfect anyway. But Revelation 3:12 says, all who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God. They will never have to leave the presence of God. And the great news is mothers, grannies, young women are going to be mothers someday. You don't have to be superwoman. No. All you got to do is be mom. And you have to be a daughter of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. With ears to hear, a heart to love, and overflowing of that love into your family and your friends and even your community. Mothers, you are awesome. And you, I better quit and let Kay finish.
Okay. Desiring to grow personally is a decision that only you can make for yourself and for your children. And we must continue to go step by step, not giving up. It's easy to forgive up and get frustrated and I'm tired of this. I'm not going to do it anymore. Can't do it. Got to press on. Put your foot out. What is that? Put your foot down. Put your foot out. No matter if you think it's taking too long. I've said that. Oh, my. Lord, I sure get tired of that verse. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. You know, it seems like I've waited longer than I've stepped forward. But anyway, sometimes you just, maybe I was stubborn, had to wait. I must be very, don't like to take too long. Let's go.
Impatient.
Yeah, impatient. That's the nasty word. So, had to do a lot of waiting. Okay, going back to the gates. The gates at the city, and I think Pastor David had said this, was the weakest point of the walls. So the enemies usually attack there. When we enter a new gate, we enter a place of vulnerability to the enemy. As moms, we possess, though, the traits of strength of Christ. He gives us that strength. But yet we're pliable enough to change if need be, and we need to keep that in our mind also. Allowing God to remake us is the greatest part of growing in Him. We can't stay the same and mature at the same time. Psalms 116, 19, and 20. 118, 19, and 20. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. Another version. Those gates lead to the presence of God and the godly enter there. When rearing our children, we are bringing them into their own place as adults. Where do you want to see them? How about before they get there? Keep the vision and the image before you. Share their potential with them again. Our Queen's authority considers right food, which they blah hate spinach. Mine didn't like any kind of vegetables. So he's ate taters and beans. Those are vegetables, but that's the only ones he'd eat. Spiritual direction, work ethics, education, teaching morals, traits, responsibility, honor, integrity, goodness. That just seems a lot overpowering, isn't it, for a mom? But God put it in you. You can do it. So all this with encouragement and discipline until they're grown. This starts the moment of birth, temper tantrums and all. Don't expect perfection. I did. I really was hard on them, you know. And don't be too serious. I found an old photograph we had one day, and I was sitting on the couch just like that, you know. I thought, oh, my goodness. But, you just think, I got to stay serious. I got to stay on them. I want them to be this, this, and this, you know. But they got to be allowed to make decisions and give them some time to make those decisions. So, Queens, we need a plan. And in His Word, He'll give you the plan. Can we trust Him? Can we wait for the final steps to take place? Scripture, Exodus 15, 26. If you will listen and do what is right, I will heal you and your family. Amen. Jeremiah 6, 16 is my last one. Ask for the old path and walk therein, and you will find rest for your souls and for your family. This is a tried and a true road.
Amen. And she got so serious, we'd call her post toasties. Mom, you're getting cereal on us.
The worst time was at dinner, because guess who started all the ruckus?
Guilty. Mm-hmm. Ah, mothers. You are a vessel of love and wisdom and faith and determination. As you serve your King, remember this. You will never, never fail. the rule that says never say never, out the window. You'll never fail the Lord. He has you in the palm of his hand. If you're in the desert, he's going to pour that Holy Spirit water on you. If you're in the swimming pool, he's going to give you a towel when you get out. You're never going to fail. Not in his sight you won't. You might in the sight of your neighbors, your husband, or whatever. So in closing, let me echo the words of Proverbs 31:26, because you're all Proverbs women. And on her tongue is the law of kindness, giving counsel and instructions. Now, if you'll allow me, I will say thank you to Miss Kay for being the mother of my two wild Indians. And they're good wild Indians, okay? And I want to thank you mothers for being mothers. Just thank you. Kay and I left our family and moved 600 miles away early in our life. We've had lots of mamas. And our kids have had tons of grandkids. Every church, there was grandparents. There was four or five elderly ladies. Oh, they made them pillows to sleep during church and blankets. You know, they bought them candy, took them fishing, did things with them. But mothers, thank you very much. And above all, Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all diligence because it determines the course of your family's life. That's a big saddle to put on a small mama, but you can do it. You can do it. God gives you strength and determination. Okay, if all you mothers would stand, please, just for a minute. If your husband, if you're there beside them, hold their hand just a minute. I'm going to pray for you as mothers. And then Pastor David is going to come and pass out the Mother's Day gifts. You know, one of those sacks has a $10,000 prize in it. I'm sorry. I'm just joking. Oh, Father, we love you, praise you. We thank you that you're a God of humor, that you're a God of grace and mercy and strength. And as these mothers walk their path of labor in raising these children, I pray that the Holy Ghost will send on them strength, joy, endurance, discernment, power to speak into these children's lives, and help them to earn the respect of their children and help the children to respect them. Father, I thank you that some of the mothers here are single mothers, but they are married to Jesus and the Father God, and he will appropriate everything and dispense it to them that they need. And we give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor David.
If you ladies would just kindly come up to the front row here. Archie, if you'll help me pass out these gifts to our beautiful moms. Come on up here, moms. It's really sad that we only do this once a year. You guys deserve this so much more often. A special day for you. And but this is your day, and so I just declare blessings. I declare blessings on you, grandmas and moms. I declare blessings. And the heart of God will come out of you. And I know it's in there. It's just a matter of you allowing it to come out. And so this morning I say, freely you have received, freely give. Freely have you received, freely give. Go ahead, Archie. I bless you this morning. Okay, guys, we're gonna have to work real hard here to give them a big hand. Let's give our moms a big hand. What's in there? I want to know what's inside there myself. Can one of you please open it so we can. How pretty. Barry, come to the keyboard one more time. Can we stand this morning as we sing one more time? We wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon strength to rise.
To rise as we wait upon the Lord, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
Our God, He reigns forever.